WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse, with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade, gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome into the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. AJ Myers joined alongside Griffin Bloomstein and Josh Rothert. Syracuse men's basketball took home a exciting, bizarre, wacky victory Wednesday night. We're recording this early Thursday morning. The snow is still coming down. We'll get into that and how that kind of played a factor into the basketball game. And then we'll really unpack what is a excellent Friday of lacrosse. Really love how that worked out with both men's and women's teams playing the top teams in the country. But Griffin, before we get to that, I was going to say we could get to the big news, but we can get with the weather first, because I know you love to talk about your weather. We got blitzed Wednesday night with a lot of snow. It really got hit here.
Yeah, and you said it was still snowing, and I still have my shades down, and so I was like, it's still snowing? Like, it snowed all night. So I just looked out my window, and it's still snowing, which is kind of crazy. I gotta now see how much snow we actually got, because when I was at the station yesterday for the game and then walked home, there was a lot of snow, like a lot, like it was coming down hard yesterday. I'm about to look up the total snow calculations while Josh gives his opinion, and I'll come back to you with the results.
Yeah, it was actually kind of insane also at the station last night. And I mean, we lost power twice during the game. Like, it wasn't like strictly a JMA wireless dome issue. So all of the computers shut off and everyone had to, you know, re-sign in the middle of the game. And it was just chaos. I mean, yeah, literally the only word you can use to describe this game is chaos, because this is a game that I'll never forget. And not just because we went to double overtime, but the fact that literally the power goes out in the actual JMA wireless dome. I mean, just stuff that I didn't think I would ever see. I mean, that's the level of snow. And it wasn't even that much. It's just like you said, AJ, it literally blitzed us. Like, it just started coming down out of nowhere and just so heavy that we lost connection. It was unreal.
Yeah, and that's what happens here. That lake effect snow, it can really get you, and it can just come out of nowhere. Griff, do you have those totals?
No, I got a little sidetracked.
That's okay. That's okay. We got a lot of snow. That's all I know. I think it was somewhere 6-7 inches. Oh no, I didn't. I did that totally unintentional.
It sounded like you did it intentionally, though.
No, because I did remember reading that somewhere. But anyways, we got a lot of snow. Now, before the basketball game, about 7 hours beforehand, fans, everybody kind of got hit with a little bit of surprise. After I digested it for a moment, I was not as surprised. But Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack is going to retire July 1st, so he will still run all of his athletic director duties up until July. We'll get into what that means for Adrian Autry's future, but he is retiring. He said in his statement, quote, "Been the greatest honor of my career to lead Syracuse Athletics." And then he finished that saying, "I came here with tremendous sense of responsibility and leave with profound gratitude for the opportunity to give back to the place that gave me so much." So John Wildhack is going to retire from his athletic director position after basically 10 years in that position, his legacy, that can really be unpacked, in an hour. There's a lot that happened in 10 years under John Wowhack. Certainly the facility upgrades, whether it's the Dome, the Lally Center, are probably the highest on his things that he accomplished here. He really made sure Syracuse was up there with every other school, facilities wise. And this university certainly does have some excellent facilities. And 10 years ago, when you drove by the facilities, it does not look like it looked like now. So give him credit there. He had to navigate a few controversies. I think every athletic director has to do that. How well he did that, you can debate all day, I think. And then, he had to fire a football coach, which is the biggest thing you do as an athletic director. And then, did he hire the right guy after 1 year? Everyone said yes. After the second year, I think it's more of a coin toss. The third year will really determine that. And then, of course, at Syracuse, what's just as big as hiring a football coach, maybe bigger, he actually had to fire and hire a basketball coach, something that I don't know how many athletic directors came before him, but not none had to fire a basketball coach or let a basketball coach go. However you want to word that with Jim Boeheim leaving. And of course, he did not get that right hire right with Adrian Autry. He did say that he would let Autry finish out his tenure of Syracuse men's basketball coach. So, Griff, there's some clarity there. He ain't gonna get fired midseason. But how have you digested things? Not even 24 hours later.
Yeah, it hasn't been tricky, I would say, to kind of just understand the why and the how and everything. I think for someone, what athletic directors don't usually last a very long time,
No.
and there's multiple reasons for that. Whether it be a new chancellor comes in, because chancellors don't last a long time either. Now there are exceptions, of course, but. For Wildhack to be here 10 years, it's an incredibly difficult job. Being an athletic director anywhere, the stuff you have to manage, the people you have to deal with, the politics of all of it's a hard job. So I don't want to take away anything from what Wildhack's done. But on the other hand, the performance of the Syracuse sport teams under his leadership was not to the standard that it was before. And yes, can't be blamed for everything. I want to give him a little leeway with the Autry decision. I
Yeah.
don't think it was necessarily his decision.
No, I think
Now,
you're spot on with that.
it's sort of I keep drawing the comparison to the Gerard Mayo, Bill Belichick, as how there was a successor for Autry. There for Boeheim, rather. First it was Hopkins. Hopkins left, took the Washington job, and then the successor was Autry. When you have these legendary head coaches, there's always an in-house successor. Coach K, it was John Schneider. I guess you can say Kentucky was a little different, but they brought in a guy that was a Kentucky guy. So when you have these legendary coaches leave, the successor's pretty much chosen at that point. So that the big thing I think that we will take away from the John Wildhack tenure is that Syracuse did its best to stay relevant. And I think it was like a not a bridge, but like Wildhack got Syracuse through the truly bad years without any huge or awful, I don't want to say scandal, but fault or for turmoil. Like nothing absurd happened to Syracuse Athletics that caused its demise. Now, you
Yes,
can't.
unlike what he came into. He came into.
Yes, he came into a little bit of trouble, and he did a good job. He kept Syracuse in the landscape, as an ESPN executive before. He was a guy that you would always expect Syracuse to stay relevant, to get national games because of his ties there, and he did. The big question is, where is Syracuse going to go with its next athletic director? Because there's going to be in a decision to be made. at that. There's going to be a decision made to be chancellor. And all signs are pointing to a decision to be made at head coach of basketball. And those are the three biggest jobs, not only at Syracuse University, not only of Central New York, because you can argue those are the three of the most important jobs in all of Central New York, but three of probably the most important jobs in the state of New York, north of the city, outside
All
of the governor.
right. Okay, this is
I'm
insane. This is
serious.
insane. This is insane. I think there's much more in vital jobs and essential jobs.
Are there?
Yes. Essential jobs? Absolutely.
I didn't say that. I said
Okay.
important.
Okay. Well, I think the essential and important are just as key. Josh, save us. We're
Wait,
drowning.
outside of the
Oh.
governor and
Oh,
maybe
good
the
grief.
mayor.
And the Onondaga County Health Executive and the
Yeah,
chief
all of
of
the
police
wonderful
and the
healthcare
sheriff was
workers, at the end of the day,
firefighters.
any qualified person can run that position, and the majority of upstate or central New York would not notice or care.
No, no one cares.
We are
Wow.
talking about something that gives hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of fans hope, excitement, joy. Do you disagree? No.
I
I
mean,
mean,
I don't know.
the dome was, I think, 27% capacity last night.
There's plenty of more Syracuse fans, hundreds of
Oh, I'm sure
thousands.
there is.
Okay.
And the Syracuse faithful, it's a vital and important that they get back to that level of joy and excitement of watching the Syracuse basketball that has not been there the last 5 years.
Yeah, I'll disagree with most of what you said, but I think in the end you did make a good point. Wildhack did keep this team relevant even in the down years, which was important. And I think you look at his time at ESPN as part of that, the 9 p.m. tip-offs to get on national television this year, while it wasn't, well received by some of the fans that had to stay up later, he did keep Syracuse in the spotlight even amidst a pretty brutal 3-year stretch here.
ABC game is for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah, one thing that is interesting to me is the timing of it all, because as long as the tenure was for this guy, the fact that he's going to be in office until July 1st worries me a lot, because I think decisions need to be made way ahead of schedule, and I do think there is some time still. I mean, you still have a little over a month left in the season, so I think as long as the chancellor is selected before, mid-March to the start of April, this team is in an okay spot. But if it doesn't happen before then, that's where things get a little tricky, because you really don't want any backlog here from this situation. And if Wildhack is at all involved in the next head coaching search before he leaves, it's going to get really interesting, and that's unless it's Josh Schertz from St. Louis. It's going to get really interesting if Wildhack is on his way out, a new coach is on his way in, or Wildhack staying put for so long gives Adrian Autry another year. Because the timing of it all is just whack, with the fact that he leaves in the middle of the summer. Because I think the decision for a new head basketball coach needs to be made within 2, 3 weeks of the season being over. Otherwise, you're going to have some of your top names off the market, and it's going to be just another year where, the team is rebuilding. Because I don't think you can put yourself in a situation where you have a solid name at head coach if your AD is still on his way out, and there's really not a whole lot that can be done when that transition period is happening. So that's the one thing that does worry me in this scenario. And maybe they have a plan already in place. I think there's a lot of moving parts behind the scenes that we aren't seeing right now. So, Wildhack stepping aside could mean that they have a chancellor, name that they are considering and are strongly, going to go with. And I think maybe the communication has been, okay, the new chancellor will take over and Wildhack will leave, and we just haven't been announced to that yet. But there's a lot of moving parts that still obviously need to be sorted out.
Yeah, Josh. Yeah, go ahead, Griff.
I think the biggest thing, and I disagree with you on one point. I don't think it's a question about why he's staying on until July 1st. I think that, it's different when
I think he gets
he,
paid until July 1st. That's
yes,
probably
that's also the big thing.
why.
I think his contract, I don't know if it ends at July 1st, but there's definitely like a benchmark at the end of July, at the end of June. But more importantly, when you it's not like he got fired. And
No.
who knows if he didn't retire, would he have gotten fired? Topic for another day. There should be some sense of transition, especially if they promote someone from within or hire someone from within, which
No,
is a
please don't.
Syracuse basketball model. And I wouldn't necessarily say promote. The one name to look out for is Heather Lake, who was the athletic director at Pitt. She is now the special advisor to the chancellor and the athletic director. And the people that are choosing the chancellor job are some of the same people that are also going to be selecting the athletic director position. The big date for the chancellor job, I would say, is March 1st. Syracuse can hire the right person by the end of February. That will give plenty of time for a head coaching decision to be made. That'd be like in March. Someone goes on a March Madness run. I think this whole Syracuse community and Twitter space
Oh boy, here we go.
going after Josh Schertz. It's happened before. It happened with football. It's never the guy that Syracuse fans think it's going to be. They wanted Dan Mullen. They wanted
That
a
Holy
couple other
Cross guy.
guys, Bob Chesney. And so, at some point they wanted Kirk Cignetti, who probably was like third or fourth in line for that Syracuse job. Took interviews with Syracuse. So it'd be an interesting place for Syracuse to be with Kirk Cignetti. Maybe Wildhack would not be stepping down.
No, I also saw Brian Hodgson's name floating around. He's a younger guy. He's an upstate New York guy. He's at USF right now, and he was one of the better coaches in the Sun Belt. He won a Sun Belt championship 2 years ago. So, yeah, there's a lot of names though.
Yeah, it's interesting. It'll be a very pivotal time. I think the hope for Syracuse fans is everything happens quick, but more importantly, you don't falter quickness for choosing the right guy. Because if Syracuse doesn't find their guy, you don't want to be doing this in 3 years. Like, you really don't want to be doing this in another 3 years. That sets your program back a while. Hope this is the guy. And also, like, you want to compete next year. So you have to make that decision at least at the start of March Madness. Maybe, like, usually, like, the one Cinderella story, the guy gets a job and then, like, a week later, or the guy goes on a run and then the week later he gets a job. You got to make these decisions quick because Syracuse fans are just going to be restless as ever if they don't.
Yeah, and ideally you would like not for John Wildhack. This is what I hope happens. I hope John Wildhack is not the one conducting the new coaching search. Hopefully that is the new athletic director. Hopefully they can come to an agreement. Wildhack's like, hey, this Daughtry thing ain't working. You probably know that. I'm going to fire him. You can hire the next guy. Hopefully that is allowed. Now, I could totally see that not being allowed where, he can't do anything because he's not under contract yet. Like, I could totally see that not being allowed, which that would really suck. Because what you don't want is you don't want Wildhack to pick a new head coach and the new athletic director doesn't see eye to eye with the new head coach. That's the disaster. So ideally, you would have timing of this isn't great. It ain't great. It would have been great if this was like September and then you had a new athletic director come in, let's say March, because then he could come in right away and just fire Autry and and we could be off on a new start. It's not ideal that and to the points both you guys made. It's just, if you wait too long, you lose the candidate and you can also lose players. And I'm gonna get to one player that I really don't want Syracuse to lose, because again, with the transfer portal, is if players don't know where wh who their leader is coaching wise, they will leave. And it is that simple to leave. So The Ostrom Avenue podcast will have you covered on every update, every rumor that is being linked, every name being linked to this athletic director role. It certainly will be interesting. And again, John Wallenhack is retiring. It makes sense. At 67 years old, you fully understand his, want to retire. He deserves retirement. He's had a really accomplished career. Now, after he announced that, there was a basketball game to be played, and
Was
Syracuse
there?
took on. There was. It was a bizarre one. Syracuse took on Cal, and it was like if there was a game that kind of summarized the season for the Orange, I think it was this one. There was some good. J.J. Starling, Nate Kings almost combined for 50 points. William Kyle was excellent with a double double, and then there was just the bad. 50% or 60 something percent from the free throw line, 12 turnovers. And then there's the roller coaster that is, this basketball team and this basketball season, and really this basketball tenure under Adrian Autry. Double overtime, and the power goes out twice. A wacky game, Griff. Syracuse gets a double overtime victory, 107-100. I think you like the fight the guy showed. Adrian Autry kind of said it after the game. He looked in the huddle and he basically knew that they weren't losing this game. I like the signs they showed on the offensive end. And look, I mean, now if you go on a six-game winning streak, momentum rolling into the tournament, knock off a few teams in the ACC tournament, you're going to line yourself up for a play-in game, right?
Ha 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 ha. No. I did like the fight that they showed. Again, it's like, where was this a while ago? I don't know why I just broke it into song, but it's okay. I'm very curious to see who you think Syracuse should
Oh, yeah.
needs to retain, because I mean, Kyle's out of eligibility. Donnie's gone. JJ's out of
It's a freshman.
eligibility.
It's a freshman.
Sadiq White.
This is pretty.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, if you watch the game,
I
this was
think
pretty obvious.
his growth has been really,
Yes.
really good. And he just looks like a player. Maybe if he had a better head coach, he could really mold into something special.
All right. He did have a couple alley-oop dunks, and I don't think anyone really questioned that ability for him. I would love to see him expand his game and
Yeah, that's what he needs to do. Yeah.
stay out of foul trouble. But
He did last night, and he only played 9 minutes, and normally that's enough for
Yeah.
him to foul out, and he only had
That's
one foul last night. One
wish he played more too last night. I don't know
Yeah,
why.
he didn't play at all in
Second
the
half.
later stages of the game, or overtime, or double overtime.
And credit to Autry for sticking with the starters. So that was good. The
Thinking with what?
starters.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why a Boston accent slipped out of me right there.
Otters.
But yeah, I think this was a very complete game outside of I guess the defense to an extent, but also like it went to overtime, so Cal really scored a quick maths 78 point in regulation. Not a whole lot to complain. I think it was definitely a wacky one. 28 lead changes is the most all season, probably the most in a
Yeah.
while. I tried to do the math, couldn't find the last time. So an interesting one. Syracuse also only led for 18 of the 40 minutes. So that was a cool stat. Interesting game, very interesting game. Or 50 minutes rather. And yeah, that's really all I gotta say.
Yeah, I mean, I told you guys, man, this is a game where they cover. They covered the spread on the last free, well, the second
Well,
to
how about the
last free throw.
line moving after Wildhack's retirement? That was
Was that?
wild.
No,
I don't think that
no,
was
that was a
true.
joke. That was a joke.
Oh, no. Okay.
No, they wouldn't actually do that. No, they
That's
covered
awesome.
their largest lead was 7, and it was the final free throw. JJ airballed the last free throw of the game. That was
Yeah.
just an absolute
Oh.
spectacle to just cap off just an absurd night. Yeah, I know. I think Sadiq was the main takeaway I had. He was efficient in 9 minutes. He scored 10 points, and the game was close throughout, but these were buckets that like would swing the Orange from down one to up one, and then up one to up three. Like it was like important moments that Sadiq was getting open, and he was kind of shining in there for quite a bit of that game. How about Chris Bell? Now Chris Bell comes back and he gets to play in front of the fans, and they don't even show up to watch their the fourth best single season 3-point shooter in Syracuse history take some shots last night. And he was all right. He made four threes, which pretty usual, 4 of 8 from beyond the arc. He had 18 points. I mean, who didn't have 18 points in this game? I think AJ was the only one who didn't have 18 points. This was a game I kind of expected the Orange to win, and it wasn't really a game they controlled from start to finish, but this effort was good enough for me. They didn't lose the game. They didn't play themselves out of it at the end of the game. They did miss free throws again, which has been a common theme in all three of these overtime games, has been if the Orange just made free throws in regulation, the game would have ended 45 minutes ago. We saw it in Houston, we saw it in Boston College, and we saw it again last night. On top of the fact that they almost gave up a 3-pointer up three with 9 seconds left. If the Cal guy didn't have his foot on the line, it would have been a game tying three where they didn't foul again. So there's still stuff at the end of regulation that is just not clicking in some of these guys' heads. But overall, it was a good showing, and it was some good momentum. The SMU game is the final. You got to be all out right now. And if they have a good showing against SMU, which I think they should win, that leads to Cameron Indoor on Monday night, which will probably be a bloodbath if we're going to be completely honest. And I thought I was impressed though. I thought this was a good game.
Yeah, it was. And there's one thing Adrian Autry won't do is he will not foul up three. I don't know why, but time and time again, he refuses to tell his team to foul up three. That's his philosophy. It's cost the Orange many of times. As you alluded to,
Games, wow.
that'll be interesting. And then they got Duke 2 days later. So it'll be an interesting end of the season. The schedule is really a gauntlet here at the end with Duke, North Carolina, Louisville. Wake Forest is a pretty solid team. You do end the year out against Pitt. Could be an
Yeah,
interesting.
you got three games on national TV and three games on the CW network. Wow.
And all the games on 88.3 to listen to. To finish out the basketball season. And as I alluded to at the top, I do want to give a shout out. Syracuse women's basketball plays Pitt tonight. I won't get into it mainly because Pitt is on an 8-game losing streak, and six of those losses have been by 15 or more points. So, Coach Jack's team, I have a strong feeling, will handle business tonight in the Steel City after what was a disappointing loss against Louisville. Let's hit the lacrosse gauntlet that is on Friday. Start with the men. This is kryptonite for Gary Gate and Syracuse, even before Gary Gate was the head coach. Maryland has beaten Syracuse the last 8 meetings, I believe. Syracuse has not beaten the Terrapins in 16 years. I mean, number one versus number two in February, Griff, is unheard of, and I can't wait for it.
I'm excited. This might be one of the most attended games. Weather permitting, I think you guys give a little too much, I guess pain, that's not the right word, hatred to the Syracuse fans for not showing up yesterday. It was a blizzard,
Yes, I
not a
agree. It
blizzard, but
was
like it was bad weather.
bad. It was bad weather.
Weather permitting, this might be the most attended game in the last decade for Syracuse men's lacrosse.
Weather should be good Friday. So.
Okay. And we have our weather expert, AJ Myers.
Yeah.
Good thing it's inside, too.
You still have to travel to the game,
Yes.
Josh.
Yes. I
Like
am
what?
aware.
Not everyone can have the luxury to walk to the dome. Anyways, back to my point. This matchup's exciting. Like this is a very good Syracuse team through two games. Probably the best team in the country that I would say. Just through two games, Maryland played Loyola Maryland last week. They looked good on offense, a couple shaky things on defense, allowed 10 goals. Didn't score 19, though. I just think Syracuse has been complete. Syracuse has proven it against a good BU team. St. Joe's apparently beat Hopkins in a scrimmage before the season started. Yes, scrimmage, but that's still something. When you look at this Syracuse Maryland matchup, there's history There's the John Tillman effect, where Syracuse hasn't beaten a John Tillman coach team since 2004, when he was an assistant coach at against Navy in the NCAA championship. So that's something. Then you have everything that happened last year in the semifinals. So this game, it's two of the biggest lacrosse brands in the country, Syracuse and Maryland, arguably one and two of just pure lacrosse brands. And so all of that, you have a niche rock, ESPN's top team on the call. You have our top team on the call. You have a great, great.
This.
Yeah, dude.
I
This
love this.
is going to be a great
No.
game. You got me on the dot. You got just the atmosphere. You got a doubleheader. Two number one teams coming to the dome for the first time ever. Syracuse is the first time they're hosting the number one team as the second ranked team ever. There's just so much to go on. This might be the best day outside of Memorial Day weekend for
Griff,
lacrosse.
does the community need this game? The Syracuse community,
Yes.
the people of
And
Syracuse.
that's what I'm thinking. Like, the people of Syracuse need this game, especially with what's going on with
Breakdown.
basketball. I think people will finally like realize that, like, oh, lacrosse is probably one of the greatest sports to ever be made. Lacrosse is so
He's
how do you
on
let
one today, man.
this is what happens
You're
when
on
you
a
make me
heater
re
today.
this will makes this is what happens when you make me record an 8:30 pod. You get true, raw,
Lacrosse
unfiltered
is
Griffin.
the greatest sport ever made.
One of. It's
Okay.
true.
Carry on.
And when you have a team that plays the level of lacrosse like Syracuse men's lacrosse does, it is so fun to watch. They can compete with anybody. And I don't get why people don't pack the dome. I don't get why. I'm going to call out all students. This is
Oh,
going to be the best
exactly.
team. This is going to be the best team you'll see all year. This is going to be one of the
Probably,
most
yeah.
fun things to watch all year. This is go to the dome. Like, I know students don't typically pack the dome for lacrosse, but it's just as fun. It's more fun than basketball. Arguably, it was a lot more fun than football this year. This is going to be a game where it's going to get action. You're going to have goals. You're going to have behind the back shots. Like, everything that's exciting about a sport, you're going to see in this game. There's going to be emotion. There's going to be altercations. There's going to be physicality. You have a revenge, a team looking for revenge. You have a team looking to stay at the top of the country. There's so much. You have an amazing goal horn. Show up. Go have fun. It's a Friday afternoon. What else could you be doing? It's snowy central New York. Take the walk to the dome and go enjoy probably the best lacrosse game of the season.
Wow. I mean,
I know, right?
I might walk to the dome as soon as we're done recording and just wait for the game to start. I mean, that was just an unbelievable pitch. Yeah, so you took one of the things I was going to say. This is the first time that number two Syracuse is hosting the number one team, but it's not the first time that the top two teams have played. It was co number one Syracuse hosting co number one Virginia in 2011. So that is the only other time you've had two top two teams inside the JMA Wireless Dome. And I believe it's about 10,600 is the number to beat. And they're expecting around 9,500. So if 1,000 students can make it down to the game, they can break this home attendance record, which would be pretty sweet. Maryland's a slight favorite on the sports books right now. And I think a big reason why is we saw this matchup last year, John Mullen versus Henry Dodge at the X. Henry Dodge worked John Mullen last year. He was at Vermont and he worked John Mullen out that game. Now, Mullen is a guy that wins 60% of faceoffs. Dodge finished atop the nation last year. He won 71% of faceoffs. So that is a matchup that I'm really watching for because this is going to be best versus best, but we know how the possession game works. If Dodge can get a 60 to 65% win rate from the X, that's going to give Syracuse a lot of problems because they haven't really faced a lot of adversity. I mean, Mullen struggled a little bit at the start of that St. Joe's game, but
if we see Maryland really start to ramp up the possessions early on, I mean, this is going to be two teams that make it take it for the majority of this game. So that's the one thing I'm really watching for. But I am really confident in the Syracuse offense. If they do get going, I think they're really hard to stop. And we've seen that already through the first two games, especially in that St. Joe's game. Man, when they get hot, they can score 4 or 5 goals in 2 minutes. And that's a really scary thing for Maryland right now. But yeah, that dot matchup is going to be really cool to watch. I'm excited for that.
Like so many games in lacrosse, it comes down to who controls that face-off X. And Syracuse's attack does get a boost. Peyton Anderson, he missed the
Yes,
St. Joe's
my
game
guy.
with illness. He is back. He's ready to go
I
for
just,
this
one
one.
thing, one
And
thing, one
go
thing.
ahead.
We all, we all chose guys for basketball. We all chose guys for
I chose
football.
Peyton.
Did
You're
we
the Peyton
do
guy.
have? All right, you're a Peyton guy. Fine, Josh. AJ, you
Should I
gotta.
pick one or?
Yeah,
You can pick one. All right.
you have your guy from last year.
I know.
Wait,
Love him.
no, Owen Hiltz was your guy, wasn't he?
Owen Hiltz was my guy.
So
He
you
still
guys are
is.
both retiring.
Who was my
Who
guy
was your
last
guy
year?
last year? I forget.
I
You
forget
probably
too.
had McCool because you're a Boston guy.
Nah,
Without even knowing, that's probably who you chose.
I think it probably was a. I think I chose Mullen, probably.
That's who I was.
So
Yeah.
gritty of you.
I do
Hey,
like
that's
Mullen.
gritty is my
Lacrosse
middle
is one of
name.
the best sports ever invented. I mean, wow.
It
So
objectively.
are you going Mullen with your guy?
No, nah, I'm gonna go.
No, he doesn't like. I just scared him off with the fact that Henry Dodge could mog him in the
Whoa,
dome.
whoa, whoa, whoa!
Give me
Henry Dodge is
Boghan. Give me
splitting.
Boghan.
Okay.
Boghan, wow, first start. What a guy.
First,
That's somebody to
if
ride. You could mention that next year too, because he'll be here for a while.
we remember.
Sure.
anyways,
This podcast episode is one of the most memorable things in my life, so.
I think Josh, what you missed is not missed, but Henry Dodge is like splitting reps this season. With Maryland's second face-off guy, which I will find the name of
I
in a
mean, they've
second,
played
but
one game.
yeah, and he
One
split
game.
reps.
Okay. We'll see.
Okay. It was one
Okay,
game.
my guy.
I mean, Mullen didn't even play in the second half hardly against St. Joe's.
Yeah.
Yeah,
You
but
could
at
argue
least,
Syracuse is
but their
split
game was
reps.
a little competitive.
Yeah, it was.
My guy is gonna be a fun one. It's gonna be Wyatt Hoddle.
Oh, what a guy.
I mean, just
That's
talk
who I
about a
was
guy
thinking.
that's fun to watch on the lacrosse field. Like fast, he's short. He plays short stick defensive mini too. Like that's you never see a guy that's like he's listed at 5'7". Now,
Yeah, you
either
can.
way, I am taller than him.
Okay.
Yes, most people are.
But
How tall is he? I think
he's
they
lit.
list him at 5'7", but I think he's
Okay.
5'5". I mean, let's be honest. He can run,
Yeah,
though. He's so quick.
he's very fast. He's very good. He can shoot the ball. Somehow they put him out there, a short stick defensive midfielder, and he doesn't get torched, which credit to him, because a 5'7", generously, short stick defensive midi is absurd. Unless he's, and he's not even, it's not like he's built huge like a normal short stick defensive midi is. So gotta
Griff,
give him a lot of credit.
do you think he's a guy the community can really rally around?
Oh, don't get me fired up. If you are a Syracuse fan and you just want to look, hey, you want to play the underdog story? We know the Joey Spallinas, the Jimmy McCools, the John Mullins. They are the big dogs. Wyatt Hoddle's the guy that he's your common man. Like he's a guy that you can just rally around the
He works
underdog
hard.
story. Like not that he's a big underdog. He's a Division I lacrosse player,
Yeah,
but
at
a
Syracuse. On the
guy
number
that.
two team in the country of one of the best sports ever invented.
Yeah. It's gonna be a great game. I think Wyatt Hoddle's gonna play a big role, and hopefully he does.
Hopefully the women's lacrosse game fires Griffin up just as much because they take on the number one team in the country as well, North Carolina. You could say, which number one team is more daunting? I'd say that's this Tar Heels team.
Yeah,
They
by a
are
lot.
loaded. They could really run the table, especially in the ACC. I mean, we've talked about this. I mean, Reggie Thorpe, no easy way to start the season. Number seven, number one, number five, number 18, are your first four games, and one is in California. The other three are at home. I don't expect Syracuse to win. I think the goal should just really be keep it competitive. And if you do, I think that's okay for a first year head coach. a team that has new pieces, is still trying to figure things out, and really played a solid game against Maryland. Maryland had an excellent display as for goalie, and then Syracuse just didn't get enough shots on target, really. But they still, I mean, 4-goal deficit isn't bad. They still were in this game.
Yeah, I think they scored a couple late goals that kind of helped the score look a little closer than it was. I think this UNC team is probably the best team in the country. Chloe Humphrey, the best player in the country. Maybe a little competition from a familiar name, Alexa Spelina. I think that might be the 1 and 2 of the Tourton this year. Alexa Spelina's hit double digits in points in almost her first game. She had it her last game. So a big loss for Syracuse. I think Syracuse with Alexa Spelina could potentially have been a very, very good team. And if I'm Reggie Thorpe, I'm already tampering, I guess. I don't want to call on the coach to tamper, but hey.
You just did, yeah.
I think if there's any a good time to tamper, it would be with Alexa Spelina. She's really good. But back to UNC. Chloe Humphreys is best player in the country. Winning the Tourton as a redshirt freshman is ridiculous. She could easily win it the next 4 years and become the best women's lacrosse player of all time collegiately. That's how good she is. The rest of the team is solid. It's kind of like her. She has her own. It's kind of like she has her own Joey Spelina recruiting class, who are now mostly juniors, even though she's a redshirt sophomore. So that's exciting to watch. Yeah, if Syracuse can be competitive, I'll give them a lot of credit. I think that's all you got to really hope for.
Yeah, if they can get a competitive game, that'd be fun. I was actually at the Maryland game. JJ Suriano for Maryland was unbelievable. I mean, she had 16 saves. They actually outshot Maryland 2-1. And I mean, I think I saw at least 5 shots hit the post.
Yeah.
So like this was a game that like, it's a game of inches, obviously. Like this game probably could have gone Syracuse's way if stuff goes their way. I mean, it's a saying, but like, I'm not like worried about this team just from this one game, and I don't think that'll change if they lose by 7-8 goals like they did in North Carolina last year. I mean, it's a growing year. This team is still young. If they put up a competitive fight against Maryland and North Carolina, like once they get into this schedule that is an absolute gauntlet, and they can actually go to the dome and not play a top 5 team, a top 7 team, I think we'll get a better measuring stick of what we can actually expect out of this team, because they can still be dominant against the lower teams of the ACC, you know, the Virginia Techs and the Cal and whatnot. And I think we'll still see that, but I think it just might take a couple games to get Reggie Thorpe his first win as Syracuse's head coach, because he set himself up for a really tough start, and you like that. You love when coaches play tough games at the start of the year. You want your team to be battle-tested when it comes down to the playoffs at the end of the season, and I think he's doing a great job of that. He sets himself up with a really tough start and a really tough finish. He's going to have his girls tested early and often, and also I think this is great that this like I'm not gonna try and beat Griffin here, but you have two number one teams visiting the dome on the same day. So I love what Syracuse Athletics is doing for the game of lacrosse, one of the best sports ever invented, and the fact that they both play on the same day in the dome. I mean, this is just an absolute spectacle. It's pretty hard to top a double overtime win over Cal where the lights go out, but if there's anything that can do it, it's two number one teams playing in the dome on the same day.
Certainly. It should be a fascinating Friday in the dome, and we'll be back next week to break it all down. What an episode. John Wildhack retirement, bizarre game in the dome for Syracuse men's basketball. Women's basketball has a game tonight. We recorded this Thursday morning. Getting you ready for Friday. That is where it'll all happen. And I'm going to swing it over to Griffin because he's more informed on this than I am. Griff, where can we listen to this 1-2 matchup on Friday?
Yeah, we got game time at 6. WAER has you covered. 5:30 with McClure Remodeling countdown to face-off. Nick Evans out of Hipsky will be on the call for that one. We got the double overtime going all the way up until 9:30. That will be with me. I'll have you covered. If you want to call in, please do so. 315-443-2011. That's the number to call. Should be a very fun and entertaining double overtime. Hopefully it's a close one, or hopefully it's a good Syracuse win so that the Syracuse fans are happy they went to the most exciting game of the year for the best sport in the world. One of It's gonna be a fun one. I think I'm excited. And then, basketball's back in action Saturday against SMU. That game is at 2 o'clock, I believe.
Yep, 2 o'clock, 1:30. McClure Remodeling countdown to tip off. I'm not that washed. The double overtime takes you all the way up till 6 p.m. So there's plenty of ways to get your thoughts heard over the air in the next 2 days. So be sure to interact with us everywhere, social media and whatnot. And of course, the Ostrom Avenue podcast. We'll be back next week to break it all down. We talk to a lacrosse coach here soon. It is getting to that time too, where we gotta start talking to these opponents because these games are big for Syracuse men's lacrosse. So we'll have all that. Be sure to listen to previous episodes wherever you get your pods or at WAER.org. That'll do it for the three of us. Hope everyone got a good laugh in this morning or whenever you're listening. I certainly had a lot of fun. So that'll do it for this episode. And thanks for watching.